anybody knows cars, it's Tom Appel, the publisher of Consumer Guide Automotive. Did you see this story locally? It's about a couple who purchased a brand new car. It was his first new car. He's like, this is going to be great, buying the first new car. He paid $56,000 for a Jeep Grand Cherokee. They bought it from a suburban dealership. It's had problems since moment one. Like, one of the problems is they can be at a stoplight and the speedometer says they're doing 40 miles an hour. That's just one of the issues. So what happens when you get a car like this? In this case, the story that I'm reading, it's back at the dealership. They're trying to fix a bundle of problems, but these guys are like, we paid $56,000. We really don't want the car back with all of those problems. There is a lemon law. Tom Appel, what good is the lemon law if you can't say, hey, this car is a lemon? I mean, how much proof do you have to offer? And is that law really worth the paper it's written on?
The law works, but the law is not as immediate, effectively immediate as I think we would like it to be. The law is pretty specific. You have to have a problem that either sidelines your vehicle for 30 days, a single problem that sidelines your vehicle for 30 days, or you have to make three or four visits to the dealer to fix that problem. After that, the lemon law starts to kick in. And it's an interesting thing because you actually work with the manufacturer to get that kicked off. If you do a web search on lemon law right now, you can see that a bunch of lawyers come up. You don't need to go to a lawyer to do this, though that might expedite things. But you do need to have a serious problem. You do need to work with the dealer. I think the dealer, the way I'm reading this law, the dealer gets one more shot to fix the vehicle after you file.
Yeah, we have a lemon law. I know Wisconsin has a lemon law because my nephew used it. They had to return a car last year and it qualified and they got every penny back. But it's not without a few headaches. It takes a little while. And I guess documenting every issue is of importance, right?
You want to save all your paperwork just in case. The dealer should have records of all that, but just in case. Yeah, you want to make sure you have printed out paper records of what happened so that you can present those when needed.
And have you ever seen where it's one brand of car, or is it just random? And what do you suspect is usually the cause?
In the particular case of the Jeep that we're talking about here, this is an electronic gremlin that's probably not going to be easily fixed. We talk about connected cars these days, and that's where the electronic system sort of has its fingers in everything on the car. And you can't just replace a part. What they're going to try to do is reprogram that, and at some point they're probably going to learn that they have to replace almost all the electronics, and that gets to be a hassle. And that is increasingly the problem that consumers are seeing. It's not some sort of mechanical issue. It's not a noise from the engine. It's not an exhaust problem. It's an electronic gremlin that is difficult to correct, and flash reprogramming isn't working.
And I understand they spent $56,000 on the car and you're like, no, I want one that's in good working condition, not that's had the whole electronic system redone.
Yeah, that's incredibly frustrating. If you look at the reliability numbers too, vehicles have gotten to be very, very reliable. So if you get one that isn't reliable, your immediate thought is this is so unfair.
Yeah.
And then you're going to have to take, you know, a month, 2 months to try to fix the problem.
And is it rare?
It is rare, yeah. We're seeing that cars are super reliable right off the assembly line, which is good news for consumers. And glad that we have warranty laws and glad we have lemon laws to fix these just in case not. But, yeah, if it happens to you, you don't care how reliable other cars are.
What's with all the recalls, though, Tom, especially the Takota airbags? That has been such an issue for so many car manufacturers. Are they finally out of business?
Takata is out of business, and in fact, the company was propped up by money from manufacturers who would use them as a supplier just to keep the supply chain going. But for people who don't remember, the Takata problem goes back almost 20 years, and they had built airbags that in certain climates were prone to failure because of metal being projected from the airbag when the airbag was deployed for use in an accident. And so those had to be replaced. They were replaced by airbags that people did not know were going to solve the problem. So, in fact, we are now replacing bags that were replaced, which is an incredible hassle. But this nightmare has affected millions and millions of cars. And we keep learning about more Takata airbags that are failing.
And I think there was a Nissan recall this month. They said that owners will not receive a letter until the end of July with directions to go in and get it fixed. But they said don't park it next to your house, not in a structure. I think it's car seats or an electrical component in a car seat that could start on fire. Do you know anything about that?
Yeah, that was the Kia Telluride. That was
Kia.
Kia's largest crossover. Yeah, the Kia Telluride. Very nice vehicle. Very popular. And basically every single one of them is being recalled, something like 460,000 units. And the problem is that the power seat adjuster can jam and remain on, which means that the motor would keep churning, and that eventually could lead to a fire. So, yeah, the problem is rare, but it can happen, and you're not supposed to park the vehicle in your house or in a garage. You're supposed to park it outside. And this is a tough one, not too near another vehicle.
Yeah. I mean, so, you know, what good is it really at that point? Someone said their friend just got a 2024 Telluride, bunch of recalls, and paid $60,000 for the car. And I think for most of us, this is a big purchase and you want what you think you paid for and not everyone's getting it. Someone else said, what about cars that have a recall that has an explanation, they must need an expiration date, but you never got the notification. I had a Toyota that had a recall on the engine that appears after 100,000 miles. I didn't put a lot of miles on it, and by the time I did, Toyota would not honor the recall.
That's interesting, and that's going to become a legal issue moving forward. We just talked about the Takata issue, and they're going very far back on those recalls, maybe because it's a safety component, but generally, if safety is the issue, manufacturers are required to honor that recall, and they're also expected to get consumers, to a certain percentage of consumers, to have their vehicles repaired. And famously, Dodge and Jeep, this is a long time ago, got into trouble with the federal government because not enough people bringing their vehicles in for the repairs. And it is a manufacturer's job to basically stir up the public and get them to come in.
I've only got a couple seconds left, but I think this is interesting. Somebody bought a Tesla a couple months ago from Hertz. AC broke, warranty doesn't cover it, $3,000 to repair. Do you suggest buying those old rental cars? Well, they're not even old. You can buy them. They're less than a year old. Is that a path you would take?
I generally have a sort of cautious buyer beware about buying used rental cars, but the Tesla cars, and this is largely anecdotal, seem to be in very bad shape. That's what I'm hearing, so I would be additionally leery about doing that.
Thank you so much for joining us, Tom.
Lisa, thank you.
Tom Appel, publisher of Consumer Guide Automotive. He's always our go-to when we have questions about cars. Steve's News is next on 720 WGN.
Lisa Dent, WGN.